Okay, we are live. Good morning, Sam. I think we'll give a couple of minutes for people to join. Maybe we'll let our good friends Rakesh and Neil confirm whether everything is working as expected in this new program what we are launching, Sense with Sam, in LinkedIn, YouTube, and Twitter, and Facebook. We'll give them a minute. Why don't you confirm, Rakesh, Neil, and we'll maybe take the confirmation from you guys. So I think we have six viewers, and we are seeing some confirmations. Just to check. So your YouTube is live. And your LinkedIn. Your LinkedIn is also live. LinkedIn, it's saying pre-event live.
Okay, well, let's start.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good. I think we'll start. So, very good morning, Sam. I think wanted to thank you for the opportunity you are giving to moderate this program. So, just want to hear what exactly you are trying to accomplish with this program, Sam, Sense with Sam, for 2024.
Thanks, Sean. Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon to everyone. Greetings from Chicago. It is indeed a special privilege and honor for me to have this opportunity to interact with you. The main purpose of this initiative is to begin a broader global conversation at this critical time when we are all facing lots of challenges. There are challenges at global level, local level, national level, and people are at times confused, concerned as to what is going on all over the world. In 2024, there are elections coming up in India, as well as in the US. And I believe 2024 is going to be critical in shaping the future of this world. Everywhere, democracy is under strain. We've seen what has happened in the US. Many of us have concerns about what is going on in India. And I'm one of those who firmly believe that without victory of democratic liberal forces, the future will not be bright for a large number of people. At global level, there are concerns because of Ukraine war, what's happening in Palestine and Israel, concerns about China on Indian borders, concerns about Indian neighborhood, issues that may flare up in Taiwan, and ongoing wars in almost 21 places in the world. Based on my own journey of last 81 years, I believe we have come to a point as a humanity where we can sit across a table and negotiate in a civilized way on many of these conflicts. I am very excited about the future on one hand because of the hyperconnectivity. For the first time in the history of mankind, we are all connected. What does this connectivity mean to humanity going forward? I believe this connectivity can increase collaboration, cooperation, co-creation, and get us out of the old mindset, which is essentially based on command and control. Most of the conflicts in the world today relate to power and profits. People are focused on grabbing more power, grabbing more profit from others, especially poor. And this has been the story of colonization for hundreds of years. And to some extent, that mindset of colonization still continues. And as a result, there is exclusion and inequality. What we really need is a large number of people focused on planet and people. Global warming is a great concern. Inequality, poverty, hunger are issues that can be challenged with the technology we have. I recently wrote a book a couple of years ago about redesigning the world, because I believe the world design that was created after World War II has outlived its utility. The design created 80 years ago don't make sense anymore in a hyper-connected world. UN, World Bank, IMF, NATO, WTO, WHO, and others have done their work in the past fairly well. It is time to rethink about these global institutions. It is time to rebuild new institutions needed for the future. And that's where the conversation on AI becomes critical. So today we are starting with the conversation on AI, but I'm sure we will cover lots and lots of other topics. But the topic of AI is more symbolic today. I remember when these institutions were started, Einstein was very concerned about the nuclear bomb technology. Einstein started a group and asked many scientists to join in this group to really bring to the attention of the people in power as to how nuclear technology can be misused, how it could hurt humanity. I think we are once again at the same time with the similar concerns on AI. Lot of conversation is going on in the world on AI. Every day, you find new stories on what would AI do to humanity. Some people say it will have a huge negative impact. Some people believe it will have positive impact. How to control AI? How to make sure that there are no lies being propagated? Information is not misused, fabricated. All of these issues are of great importance in building strong, vibrant democracy which empower people to decide on their own destiny. So the conversation today would be more focused on AI. And to me, AI is nothing but looking at large amount of data to first really classify, then to edit, summarize. It can also ask questions as part of this, and then draft an answer in the way you want. The difference between search and AI to me is that search gives you information. If you go and search on Sam Petroda, you might get 200,000 articles. What do you do with it? AI will allow you to create knowledge out of search. You can ask a specific question. Not only it will answer, but it will also summarize it for you and write it for you if you want. Now, there are many dimensions of this. Audio dimension, text, and video dimension. When you look at the text, AI can read 50,000 books at the same time for you and summarize, which you cannot do. It is humanly impossible. AI can also give you different people's perspective integrated. So the most interesting and exciting thing for me is that AI can do a lot of quick reading and summarization for you that is almost impossible to do for an individual. I am very bullish and I am very excited about the potential of AI because it will have huge impact on the work, at office, at home, collaboration, cooperation, teamwork, management, leadership, all kinds of issues at work will get affected with the new tools and new technology. And then mobility, health, education, food, energy, finance, retail, travel, you name it, especially governments. AI will have huge impact on citizen services. There is not a single area that will not get affected with the new tools and new technology. It also means that some of the jobs will get affected. People are very concerned about the impact of AI on jobs. Some of the jobs would be eliminated and new jobs would be created. It has happened in the past and it will happen once again with AI. But this time, the top level white collar jobs would be affected more than the blue collar jobs. The Industrial Revolution, to some extent, IT revolution affected lower level jobs. AI is going to affect white-collar jobs. Take, for example, consulting. I remember many years ago hiring McKinsey & Company, 30 years ago, to do a business plan, mainly because all the data about markets was available only with McKinsey's of the world. Now, AI will not only look at that data, it will analyze, synthesize, organize, structure. And you don't need McKinsey for that piece of work. So their job will change. The real interesting thing for me is that the job related to maintenance, job related to health services, will have very little impact because of AI. And I believe these jobs will get elevated. And my dream is that as a result, income inequality will get addressed. So I have lots of interesting thoughts on it. We'll explore it. But I thought this little, maybe a longer introduction, will set the stage for conversation today. I wanted to take this time mainly because this is the first in a series of conversations. We really need to get your feedback on how to improve, how to get your advice on increasing the reach and also increasing and improving the richness of the conversation. One thought that came up for conversation earlier before we started was, is this a good time? Because this is Sunday night in India.
this may not be the best time. So tell us if you think we need to move it to Friday, for example. I know in India, cricket matches get everyone's attention. Indian youth is very excited about cricket matches and Bollywood, rightfully so. So they may have little interest in a conversation like this. But we want to make it exciting, educational, informative, and interactive. I also want to learn from you as to what are the challenges you are facing. So once again, Sean, Rakesh, and everyone, thank you for organizing this. And now we can open up for broader interaction and hope we'll have a rich conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. So I think without much ado, I'll start the first question. Responsible use of artificial intelligence is a very important topic. Even during this recent Palestine-Israel issue, I think the entire world, technology world, complained US, Israel, that they have used AI-generated images, claiming that there are wrong things which was conducted in Palestine. So what do you think about responsible use of AI, and also kind of considering some geopolitical impacts?
See, every technology has a potential for good use and bad use. Take, for example, knife. You can cut your fruits and you can kill somebody. This question comes up every time, whether it is nuclear bomb, AI, knife, social media, or whatever. So some people will use technology effectively and some will abuse technology. I wish we had paid more attention when the social networks or social media was becoming popular. At that time, if we had forced through regulation need for authenticated user and authenticated behavior, we would not have this misinformation jungle that we have created. Fake news, fake identity. You could go to Facebook and there are 8 Sam Petrodas. I don't know who is who. There are people who tweet on my behalf and I have no idea who these people are. But these things happen all the time. So AI will have to be regulated. And I'm glad that there's an interesting initiative started by a friend of mine who used to work with me, Nicholas, and his group in Europe and EU. I met with them in Paris recently. And I'm glad that in US, there has been a conversation and President Biden has taken a lot of interest. We need watermarks as a starting point, which says this is AI generated. It is not necessarily truth. It is fabricated truth. Whenever you see watermark, be careful. Hopefully, over a period of time, humanity will realize that AI will improve my behavior. Today, my behavior may not be up to the mark. I may be looking at a wrong set of information, digesting wrong data. AI will guide me, hopefully, in the future to say, hey, don't spend too much time on this. This is garbage. If you want to improve your character, your values, your impact on this world, change your behavior. So I think some will misuse AI in the beginning, But hopefully, over a period of time, information will bring about openness, accessibility, connectivity, networking, democratization, decentralization, and ultimately social transformation. Sean?
Yes, Sam. So I'll just ask Priyamada, are there any questions from the Twitter space? We are collaborating with India with Congress, one of the vibrant youth groups based out of India. So Priyamada, are there any questions from you and from the group? Go ahead, please shoot.
Yeah, I have one question. Sir, I just want to know the AI implications on India and how it will help us, you know, as a, because India is growing and India has a youth population and we see ourselves as a like a superpower, one of the candidates of superpower. So how will AI intelligence help India, especially in, you know, elevating us from poverty or, you know, helping the poor and the marginalized? Can AI help in that sector?
Sure. First of all, Priyavada, I would just not spend too much time on being a superpower. You know, I think it is blown out of proportion. To become superpower, first thing we need to do is lift 400 million people who are below poverty line. We have lot of work. India cannot be a superpower if you can't clean up your air in Delhi. So I think this idea about Vishwaguru and all this, to me, is bogus. We have a lot of work ahead of us to do things that we need to do back home before we can talk about being a superpower. Of course, a country of 1.5 billion people has to be an important global player, goes without saying, mainly because of the number of people. To me, that advantage of young talent will be reflected in our leadership in AI, because we will be able to provide human capacity that many countries cannot have. Why do you think Indians are all over in the world? They are in the US running largest corporations, banks, governments. They are in Europe, they are in Africa, they are in Asia Pacific, they are everywhere. Middle East, why? Because we have been able to develop human capacity in management, technology, IT, software. And I think same thing will happen in AI. World will look at India for the AI talent. But that doesn't make us superpower. The only way to become superpower, according to me, is to really improve conditions in India. Improve environment, reduce poverty, hunger, get rid of slums, and lift 400 million people who are below poverty line. That is the challenge. And challenge is not necessarily related to creating more billionaires or having more fancy startups or having more unicorns. Of course, it is good. I admire that. I wish all of them lots of luck. But some of us will have to focus on real challenges at home. Inclusion is a big challenge at home. Caste structure. How can you become a superpower if you really discriminate people based on religion, race, language, caste? So I would tone down a little bit our emphasis on becoming superpower. Let's clean up the challenges we have at home. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Priyamata. So there are a lot of questions, interestingly, coming through all your channels, Sam. Jaimin Trivedi from LinkedIn has asked, shall be some ethical considerations for widespread AI use and what could be non-governmental solutions for safe and ethical use?
Okay. One was the ethical use of AI. What was the other one?
safe and ethical use, non-governmental solution. I think you can see.
I can read it. I'm sorry. Yeah, I know Jaimin well. Hi, Jaimin. How are you? Jaimin is a medical doctor, also a technocrat who works on some interesting devices to improve health. I have known Jaimin for a while. Good to see you, Jaimin. I think ethical consideration, we talked about it a little bit. People will have to really focus on ethical leadership. Today, there is a crisis of leadership in the world. Leaders like Mahatma Gandhi, Mandela, Martin Luther King don't exist because there is a crisis. Everyone is petty. Everyone is trying to polarize people for personal gains. So I think ethical considerations will have to come from people like us, mainly the scientific community, not the technocrats. Social science, political science, anthropologists, psychologists, philosophers, economists, we'll all have to collectively work to make sure that we don't misuse. And if we don't solve the problems of the masses, who else will do it? Rich people are not going to do that. They have no interest. And I don't blame them because their interest is only to optimize shareholder value. Our interest has to be to optimize stakeholder values. So I would say the real challenge is with a lot of the professionals, domain experts. Second, about the health, I think AI will have huge, huge impact on health. I mean, look at the average doctor has to go through so many layers of training to upgrade their own expertise. And there is no way these doctors can read all that literature that is published every day. AI can summarize it for them. AI can search large amount of data for them and get them the answers quickly. So I think AI is a pair of intelligent experts available to you all the time, instantly. So we can have a separate session on AI and health. Okay.
So thank you, Sam. And I'll just go for the next question. We have a lot of questions. I just want to be cognizant of your time. So Sanjeev Kumar from LinkedIn has asked, wouldn't
autocratic leaders... Yeah, I can read the question now.
Sure, go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Sean. I can read the question. I didn't see it before because I didn't pay attention. Now I see his face. Hi, Sanjeev. Sanjeev, you are right. Autocratic leaders will misuse AI, LLM to spread hate, fake propaganda, and revive history as they see it. It happened with Hitler without AI. It happens even today with many of the autocratic leaders, whether it is newspaper, television, social media, or what. The key is to have enough people educated about all of these issues and realize what is truth and what is lie, what is hate and what is love, what is right, what is wrong. You can't fool all the people all the time. Ultimately, truth will prevail. Love will always win, no matter what you do. So, in the process, we have to go through a lot of this suffering. We have to make sure that the autocratic leaders don't use these tools. And if they use, we don't believe in it. So I think it's a question of educating everybody to find their own truth. The real challenge in the next 20, 30 years is to really educate a mass of people to find their own truth and not take somebody's words, because everybody's biased. All television channels are biased. Unfortunately, they are biased because of the financial interest and not because of the human interest. I mean, look at what is going on in Palestine and Israel conflict. Some leaders are quick to take one side immediately because it is profitable, because it is personal interest. In the process, we have lost the sight of humanity. I am not for Israel or for Hamas. I am for humanity. When Israel's child gets affected, it affects me same way as if child on the Palestine side or even in Ukraine or in India is affected. So I think we need to really take high moral ground. Autocratic leaders never take high moral grounds. They manipulate media. They create propaganda with misinformation. They attack opposition with lies, court cases, and people don't get it. And ultimately, they pay for it. So thanks, Sanjeev.
Thank you, Sam. Sam, I'll read it because there are a bunch of guys from Twitter space who may not be able to see the question. So sure, Najmi sure. From YouTube have asked yes. From Dubai. So what is the level of social disruption? He's asking, what is the level of social disruption you think AI will make in India and globally?
Well, social disturbance would increase if you misuse AI and if you believe in that misinformation. Okay. So you'll have to learn to find your own truth and not rely on what has been given to you. You know, today, if there is misinformation about something, everybody starts talking. Recently, there was some misinformation, not only misinformation, lie, that Sam Pitroda brought Adani to Rahul Gandhi. I mean, it was on some television channel. I don't pay attention to it because I don't care what people say. I don't worry about what others say. But in the process, I must have gotten 100 calls from friends, relatives. Is it true? Are you sure? The point is, you should have that much confidence in Sam Pitroda, if I'm your friend, that Sam would never do that. If you don't, we got a problem, my friend. So I think we will have to develop our own trust, our own confidence, our own understanding of people, and not take media lies seriously. It's a problem today, you know. But that's the world we live in. Thank you, Najib.
Thank you, Sam. I see a bunch of commentaries. So Wasim from Facebook is saying, AI is being used for spreading hate. What are your thoughts, Sam? At least in India.
Well, not only AI. I think television is used for promoting hate. Newspapers are used for promoting hate. Anchor leaders are used to promote hate. Social media is used to promote hate. So why not AI? If you are in the business of promoting hate, you got one more tool. Okay, so they should be all excited with AI. But then it's up to us.
Okay.
To see what to believe and what not to believe.
Sounds good. There are a bunch of commentaries we see, like right to education, right to health, right to employment, right to home with brotherhood. A lot of people are engaging. I am very...
Kapil Saab from Meerut.
Yeah.
Go back to the Kapil's question.
It was in Hindi.
Yeah, Kapil Saab. No, it was in English. Sorry.
Yeah.
Kapil Saab's question is very important. I think this is what we need to focus on and not worry about being a superpower. We need to make sure that our people are fed. Fortunately, we produce enough food. but we don't have proper distribution and delivery systems to make sure that the food gets to the right people at right time. That's why there is hunger. Hunger is not there because we can't produce enough food. We have surplus food. Right to education, we do have right to education. Do we implement in practice? Right to health is not there yet. Can we provide health services at lower cost? Some states are doing it. I know Rajasthan has done a very good job on distributing medicine at free of cost. Right to employment is tough in a country where unemployment is very high. Right to home is a challenge for next 50 years, perhaps, or 30 years, because India needs close to 150 million of good homes. Look at all the slums. And then we talk about being superpower. I mean, when G20 was there, people had to hide all the slums in India. So global leaders don't see slums. I'm not ashamed of the slums. It's there, accept it. What are we going to do about it? By creating walls to hide slums is not going to solve national problem. So I think, Kapilji, these are important issues and we all have to work on it. We know it's there. What are we going to do about it? Each one of us at community level, local level, and not expect Delhi to solve all our problems. Delhi cannot solve. Delhi is not capable of solving these problems. So we need community participation. For that, we need strong civil society. But civil society is under stress when democracies are under stress. So it's a challenge.
Thank you, sir. And from Facebook, Meenakshi Dahiya is asking, propaganda is propping anti-equality regimes everywhere. How can AI stop democracy backsliding? Won't it get appropriated too?
Meenakshi, this is a challenge. It is a challenge in AI and it's a challenge in social media. I don't think AI will solve these problems overnight. It's a process and not a product. Democracy backsliding can only be prevented by courageous people. If people are not willing to speak and take positions and remain coward, authoritarian leaders will jump all over you. That's what they want. They create fear by filing court cases, putting people in jail, so that people don't come forward and speak up. And this has been going on in the history for a long time. Nothing new. So people will need courage. And you can use AI to build that courage. You can have better data, better analytics, better information, but you got to speak up. AI is not going to speak for you. You need real people to speak up and challenge.
Sounds good, Sam. Basant Kumar's question from LinkedIn. What would be the proactive steps, especially in the education sector, so that we are able to tap the job market in AI?
I think we need to train more people in AI. You know, there is no other alternative. You got to create more schools, more experiences, more laboratories, more institutions on AI. If I had to offer a solution today, I would create like NIC, National Informatics Center. I would create a separate institution like CDOT, CDAC we created during Rajiv Gandhi's time. I would create a national institution for AI, not funded by private people, but funded by the government. No matter what you say, private funding comes with lots of strings attached, directly, indirectly, underneath. If government decides to take 5,000 good engineers and create All India Institute of AI, to me, AI is more EI. It is enhanced intelligence. more so than artificial intelligence. There is no artificial intelligence. But that's the word people use. I would call it more like AI. It is enhanced intelligence. This set of software helps me improving my own intelligence. But ultimately, I am in charge and not machine. I tell machine what to do. I'm not afraid of machine taking over me. It'll never happen because I will dictate what machines will do, how I will use it. And if machines tells me to do something which is not proper, I won't do it. A great AI software through all kinds of analysis would say to Sam that kill somebody because it is in the larger interest of humanity. I won't do it. So I would say, as an answer to your question, we need national institution on AI, but that will require, like you say, cloud computing infrastructure, training, talent, huge amount of investment, and it's not an easy task. But if we pay attention to it today, we will have upper hand because we have highly talented young Indians. I tell you, when I started CDOT in 1984, I tell people today that CDOT was successful only because of two reasons and not because of Sam Pitroda. One, political will provided by Rajiv Gandhi with total trust and confidence with autonomy, flexibility, freedom, budget. And two, young Indian talent. I mean, these kids were so good. I have great respect for them. They are all now, you know, in big jobs all over the world, from America to Australia to Europe to India, you name it, Asia Pacific. Those bright young Indians with lots of talent made it happen. Same thing happened with supercomputer. When we started CDAC, CDAC was successful because once again we had political will from Rajiv Gandhi, who says, go build your own supercomputer. We put a team together in Pune and we built supercomputer in 36 months. Credit goes to young talent. Okay. I am very high on young Indian talent. They are great kids. We need to give them challenge, support, backing, confidence. And that's our job as old people. We need to shield them. And if we can't do that, we can't build the talent of tomorrow.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Sam. So I think there are a lot of awesome questions. So how are we doing on time? Can we go for, so I was scheduled only for 6:45. You have other appointments. Sure.
Go ahead. No problem. Okay. We can go.
So I want to ask one futuristic question, kind of a little expanding on the question which Kuntal Chaudhary has posted from LinkedIn. For artificial intelligence, we need a huge cloud computing power, which India lacks. What's your recommendation for India to build such cloud infrastructure? I just want to expand one more point. So Rahul Gandhi, in all best possibilities, can become the prime minister. So you are the technology brain for Indian National Congress. So what may be your recommendation with respect to this cloud infrastructure, other things with respect to AI? In case
you will be surprised as to what kind of cloud infrastructure we have with NIC. We may not have it in private, but government has massive cloud infrastructure. Let me give you 2-3 examples, okay? Because I was personally involved in it, so I know it. One, in Manmohan Singh's time, we decided to build national knowledge network at the cost of $6 billion. As part of that, I remember having a meeting with 40 people for 2 hours, including all army, military, generals, scientific community, and everybody, to really request US military to vacate spectrum that they were occupying And this was going on for 2-3 years. Nobody could resolve it. So Dr. Manmohan Singh called me and said, Sam, why don't you have a meeting on it? So I called a meeting and I said, look, we are not getting out of this room until we solve this problem. We solved the problem. They said, we will release that spectrum, but we need $8 billion or $6 billion worth of fiber optics network. Will you guarantee that? And I said, okay, I will try to guarantee, you know, after I speak with the right authority. That evening, I went to Pranab Mukherjee, who was then finance minister. And I told Pranab Mukherjee, I said, sir, we need this. He said, no problem, Sam. Go do it. We had all the support. With that support, we built a national knowledge network to connect 1,100 nodes with then 4 gigabit bandwidth to connect all our universities, all our scientific labs. That network is operational today, fully operational. When a friend of mine, professor from Harvard, Michael Sanders, came to India, he and I addressed 500,000 people, 500,000 people on a video call. People don't know these things. And he was surprised. He said, Sam, how can you connect so many people? I said, this is India. Because we can just ask 100 universities to bring 500 or 700 people in each auditorium. And they add up. In addition, at NIC, we build massive cloud infrastructure. We have a national cloud and we have 4 regional cloud. One in Bhuneshwar, I think one in Hyderabad, Delhi, and Pune or somewhere. So we have, government has massive cloud infrastructure. Private doesn't have it. Like here you have Google and Facebook and all. We don't have that yet. Agree. But you got to build it.
Okay. Thank you, Sam. So from LinkedIn, there is an anonymous user who have asked, can you please lay down your opinion on how technology professionals can contribute towards upskilling fellow Indians on AI, ML, cloud without being part of full-time political landscape yet contributing in these areas?
Just start schools, give tuitions, donate your time, invite people on social media saying, I'm teaching something on AI, and then give them certificate from you. Someday that certificate will become very important. If your content is good, people will respect your certificate. So I think you can do a lot.
Ankush Shukla from LinkedIn is asking, is it possible to misuse artificial intelligence for our democracy or fair elections in India?
Well, you can misuse anything. You can misuse knife. And I'm sure you can misuse AI. Fair elections in India are of concern to many people. It has to do with electronic voting machine. It has to do with election database rolls. It has to do with election bonds. These are very big issues in India. And very few people understand the complexity of it. See, most of the people have knowledge on the surface. There is very little depth. And people think they are expert at something by listening to 5-minute video somewhere. A lot of people come to me and say, can you summarize this in 2 minutes? And sometimes I say, no, I can't do it. There are things you cannot summarize in 2 minutes. Of course, I can give you some sound bites and you think you've become expert. No. Deep, deep learning and domain expertise is the only answer to enlightenment. Enlightenment cannot come from watching television or listening to sound bites on social media. Unfortunately, not many people are willing to spend that kind of time, and energy. But they all think they're experts on everything. That's the world we live in. So I think fair election is a very complex topic. There is a group set up by Justice Lokur and his team. And, you know, I talk to them on and off and I learn from them a lot. You know, thanks. There was a question from Nagendra.
Yeah, it was a long question, but it's a very important
question. Question is always long. Hi, Nagendra.
So religious extremists leveraged AI extensively during Lok Sabha elections 2014 and 19, surpassing the utilization of AI by mainstream political parties and intellectuals. The same forces exert significant control over social media platforms. Scandals like the Rafael scam and others remain untouched by public discourse as the government conceals data and misleading propagandas hold sway over the minds of the younger generation. How can the tools of AI be employed to tackle?
Tools of AI can be employed more to create misinformation than to create good information, unfortunately. I think the real question is to educate people and empower them to understand their own truth. You got to search for your truth. You got to be knowledgeable to say this is lie. And this is okay. You must be able to distinguish between hate and love. You must be able to distinguish between truth and lie, between trust and mistrust. If you can't do that, you got a problem. Okay. And for that, you don't need a lot of education. My grandparents were not educated. My grandfather couldn't even read, but he knew what was right and what was wrong. So don't confuse degrees with ability to distinguish between truth and lies. Next question, why is India doesn't have its own operating system? A great question, my friend. We have been asking this question for the last 35 years. 35 years. We were also responsible for it, but could never find enough funding to build your own operating system. India must have our own operating system. It is shame that a country of 1.5 billion people don't have operating system. We have large private sector companies in IT. Nobody wants to invest in these kinds of things because it's not profitable immediately. None of these companies even come together and say, look, let each one of us put in a few hundred million to create a fund of $1 billion to build our own OS. It is a need of the hour. Should have been done long time ago. Why doesn't India have our own Alibabas of the world? Fortunately, we have good payment system, mainly because of the effort government made on defining the payment standards. And we did that during Dr. Manmohan Singh's time. Nobody understands these things. Okay. Today, people think Prime Minister invented IT. That's the kind of gimmick that goes on in the media. But these things take time. If you want to build an OS, it will take a lot of resource. There'll be some failures. And you may not be able to deliver what you promised. That's okay. But you got to travel that path. And we have decided not to travel a difficult path. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And I think I'll just go for some of the questions from Zoom. Nilesh Dishesha wants to ask, what value should we embed in artificial intelligence? Is it possible to teach machines ethics, empathy, or compassion?
Very good question. I'm in the process of filing a patent on similar ideas. I believe AI will improve over a period of time quality of people. AI will tell Sam Pitroda, hey, you're spending too much time on useless stuff. The information you are consuming contains too much lies. Information you are consuming contains too much violence. Shape up. It'll happen. So it's a great question, and I believe something like that will happen. Hi, Khalid.
Khalid, Moidu from Facebook is asking, large workforce in the IT world is Indian. Why are we slow in innovation?
Because innovation is the risk. We are risk-averse. We don't want to take risk. Innovation doesn't work all the time. So that's the problem. Okay.
So thank you. And Priyamada, do you have any questions from the Twitter space? Or you have any questions? Go ahead. I think Divyak.
Divyak has a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Divyak.
Thank you, Sam, sir. Sam, sir, I have two questions. The first part of my question is regarding the policy making and the need of laws governing the artificial intelligence. Because we all agree that the potential for AI is immense. And probably the scary part is it's unknown. And we still have to explore like to what extent it can affect the current system. I mean, like not only system, the whole thing, the whole system, yes, I would say system. So don't you think that along with the exploring what are the potential of AI, we in India also explore the potential, we can also parallelly maybe look at the policy governing it plus the laws governing it. Can that part be parallelly done? I mean, while we're exploring this thing, because you said immense potential of technical background in India, but along with that, can't we look at that? Part one, that is my question. And second part is regarding to its application. Maybe I will ask it the second part and later if you
can
enlighten about this.
I would say
Divya, can you hold on to the second question? Let Sam answer the first one. Yeah, go ahead, Sam.
Thank you for the question. I think it is important to recognize that we must quickly address legal issues related to AI, policy issues related to AI. I would request Indian authorities to look at EU document on AI regulations. It's a great start. Start looking at it now before it gets out of hand. Insist that there is a watermark. Insist that there are stricter rules and insist that people identify themselves. Just one rule. I think Twitter is doing a good job on that. One rule that I am Sam Pitroda on social media. I must take responsibility for what I say. I can't hide behind a curtain and start spreading hate through bots and through all kinds of fake names. That should be stopped immediately. And that will go a long way. So I think these are very important issues. Okay.
Go ahead with your next question, Divya.
Yeah. So my second question is regarding the application of AI. So I was just thinking, like since the machines won't have emotions or biases, so at least now, I mean, like it will be fairly on data, the AI machines or AI programs will be working on. So can it be used to have a very equitable and transparent distribution of wealth in the country? Maybe say, let's say something like a loan waiver for farmers or as a support, wherein like currently the netas say on their bhashan, okay, I will be distributed so much. But where is the proof? I mean, it's all just in the nare, I believe.
For that you don't need AI. For that you don't need AI. You know, you shouldn't be really having technology looking for solutions. Okay. Those policy decisions can be made now. Okay. For equal distribution of wealth. You don't need AI. You need other policies. Of course, AI could help in analyzing data. That's okay.
Only point over there is because sometimes when there's the distribution, there is like emotions and the biases with the party affiliation or something like that. I mean, like people near to the thing. So AI, can it come in? Because it won't think. I mean, it will.
Okay, that's fine. Fine. You can use AI or you can use some decision-making process and then call it AI. That's okay. You need some algorithm saying, before you make a decision, these are the requirements. If you call that AI, fine. That's not a big deal. I agree.
Sounds good, Sam. Divyak, I think we are on top of the hour. So, Sam, I just want to ask the last question myself. So, the last week, I think Rahul Gandhi and a bunch of the opposition in India got the mail from Apple that there was possibility of that there is a state-sponsored attack on many of their iPhone devices. So, and there was statement made by Rahul Gandhi and many of the opposition leaders, and Apple also made some subsequent statements and things. So what do you want to comment upon on that, Sam?
Well, I don't know enough details, but I can tell you one thing, that we know that government in America and in India and in Israel and in many countries use all kinds of tools to monitor people who are in opposition or public figure or have courage to say the truth. It has been going on for many years. I won't worry too much about it because they're going to do that anyway. So for me to assume that I am not monitored today would be naive. Okay, I know that. And I may not be a very important person in the country. But there are many important people in the country. They are always monitored. Apple has come up with
a... Hello, Modi.
whatever. I don't know whether it's Modi or whatever, you know. But, you know, there are all kinds of agencies within the government also. And sometimes some people in the government may not even know that. Okay, so that's a way of life in information age. When you use your credit card, they know where you are. Okay, I have a friend, Chris Anderson, in New York. He and I went to a dinner once, a fancy dinner, and he had $100 bills to give it. I said, Chris, why are you using cash? He said, Sam, New York State analyzed my credit card bills. And based on where I had dinner, they decided that I'm resident of New York and not Connecticut. Okay, because I eat every night in New York. So they said, you are resident of New York. You pay 12% tax. This is happened in New York almost 10 years ago. So people are being monitored all over, directly, indirectly. So I won't worry too much about it. It's okay. I mean, fine. You know, everything is public anyway. Okay. But before we close, Sean, I would like to ask people as to whether this is useful. Is this something? It is good for me. I can tell you that. I enjoy it. I want to interact with young people. I want to understand your concerns. I want to be able to help a little bit if I can. Not that I'm capable of helping everybody. But at my age, my joy is to really interact with young people. That keeps me young. So I have a selfish reason to interact with young people. But I hope it is of use to you. If it is not, we don't need this. Okay. So tell us, what would you like to hear? And I can share with you lots of things based on my life. I had a very rich journey, fortunately. You know, many of you may not know, but I am 81-year-old, telecom engineer, came to America on a boat in 1964. I've been in US for almost 60 years. And I worked in India for Rajiv Gandhi, Manmohan Singh, Narasimha Rao, VP Singh, you name it. And I enjoy being on both sides of the globe. I'm American, I'm Indian. I feel comfortable. These are my two countries. It doesn't matter what passport I hold. You know, America has been very good to me. And India has been equally good to me. So I would love to share my experiences, if that's of interest to you. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sam. And maybe Priyamada, what do you think as community feedback? Maybe you can share what do you think?
Yeah, of course, we'll have, yes, sir, it is actually very engaging and interesting to know and talk about the current issues with you, sir. And I think we should carry on this series. Just if we could, you know, create this link a little earlier, because I think this was the first of your sessions. And we had just been informed just a few hours. So probably the reason we didn't get much, like, there were a few people. But, you know, we'll get a few more audience if we are able to get this, share this link, you know, ahead of time, like ahead of your...
Sure.
So if you are planning every week, then we can have, like, we can share this accordingly.
And so also please tell us where this is the right time. Tell us if this is the right time or we should do it on Friday, because Sunday night people want their time with the family and children and all, you know. But you tell us, you advise us, and we'll do it.
Friday or Saturday would be a good time, sir.
Okay.
Especially I think because today the World Cup is going on, the Cricket World Cup. So maybe people are busy. I'm not sure.
Okay.
This is my wife, yes.
Now let's talk about it, Sean, Rakesh, and
yes,
you all,
yes, sir.
And set up a new time.
Saturday, I think that would be comfortable. Right?
Saturday, what do you think? Sam wants to connect to Indian youths and students. So what do you think may be the preferred time in case if we do it on Saturday?
Saturday, same time.
Okay.
7:30, 8-ish, yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay. We'll do that. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Rakesh, Neil, Priyamvada, India with Congress. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Sam. Looking forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Love you all. Bye-bye.